Welcome, everyone, to our Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and I'm so filled with gratitude that you've all joined tonight to come together to strengthen these ideas of love in our minds. Let's begin with a brief meditation. So just pausing, turning within, and bringing your awareness to your willingness. Of Course in Miracles says that all we need is a tiny bit of willingness, a tiny speck. And just the fact that we're here together demonstrates that we have that willingness. So seeing if you can just connect with that sense of willingness within. And in your mind, taking that willingness and offering that willingness to your inner teacher, to our inner teacher, Holy Spirit, our higher mind, trusting that we will receive the miracles that we are open to receiving. If we need to hear something tonight or share something, trusting that we will hear or share whatever it is that we need. And feeling a sense of gratitude for the space that we are holding for one another. And gratitude to Spirit, who does this work for us as we simply turn our perceptions, our beliefs, everything over. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this moment. I feel so much joy. So let's dive in. We are, if you have the Sparkle Edition, we are on page 429. The subheading is Light in the Dream. Same subheading in all the editions tonight. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 18, part 4. And last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is Chapter 18, Part 3. And just a reminder for those of you who are following along in the FIP edition, sometimes I might seemingly stop mid-paragraph if you're reading from FIP. That's just because sometimes the paragraph breaks are different between editions. So it looks like I'm ending at my paragraph, but to you it might look like I'm mid-paragraph. And sometimes you'll notice some slight wording differences just because of the editing, but for the most part, it looks like it corresponds. So let's dive in. Light in the dream. Hallelujah. You who have spent your lives bringing truth to illusion, reality to fantasy, have walked the way of dreams. For you have gone from waking to sleeping, and on to yet deeper sleep. Each dream has led to other dreams, and every fantasy which seemed to bring a light into the darkness, but made the darkness deeper. Your goal was darkness, in which no ray of light could enter. And you saw a blackness so complete that you could hide from truth forever in complete insanity. What you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. The light is in you. Darkness can cover it, but cannot put it out. And I'll pause there. This is beautiful. So again, this sort of picks up on a little bit of what we talked about last week with this idea that we've chosen to listen to ego, and our goal was to hide out from God. Our goal was to have our own little dream where, in a sense, we are like little rulers of our own universes. And we talked a lot last week, I think it was last week, about how there's no cause for guilt, that guilt can easily slip in there and tell us, like, oh, you did something bad. That's exactly what the ego wants to tell us and wants us to believe, because it keeps us feeling afraid of God, feeling afraid that, like, oh, we did something bad, so we're going to be punished. That is ego thinking. So we touched on that last week. The beauty here, it's in these last couple sentences. What you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. We are God. We are part of God. That light is in us. We can't get rid of it. Darkness, it says, can cover it, but cannot put it out. So if you think about, you know, anything that we see in this world that seems to be so dark, the light is still in the other, and it's our task to be willing, through spirit within us, to be willing to see the truth in the other. The light is in you. Darkness can cover it, but cannot put it out. Thank God. Any thoughts or insights or questions so far from this first paragraph?
It reminds me of that story of Plato's cave. You know that story?
I don't know if I know that story. What is that story?
It's they're sitting around this cave, and they've been sitting for a long, long, long time, and their backs are to the opening of the cave, and they see reflections on this wall from the campfire, and they're in total darkness, and they are seeing these reflections, and they're saying, oh, that, I think that means that, and oh, no, I think that means that, and they're all giving their own interpretations, and a person comes in and says, come out to the light, come out to the light, turn around, and come out to the opening of the cave, you'll see it clearly, and you'll see it, and you won't believe how happy you are. But they feel chained. They're like they're chained to this place where they're just looking at this reflections. But they could get out of them. But they feel heavy and laden down by all this, you know, perceptual, oh, no, this is the way it is. It's always been this way and all that sort of stuff. And people, and he just says, he can't get anybody to leave the cave.
Yeah, it's their shadows, right?
Their shadows, like what we're seeing. We're seeing these shadows. And Jesus is coming and saying, come out of the darkness. There's a whole other light. Let go of what you think you see that you've been looking at for eons and eons and eons. Break your chains and just allow yourself to just see the light. But because you've been doing it for so long, you're a little bit afraid. You're a little bit afraid to do it, you know, what's going to be out there and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, supposedly I read in the Urtext, or maybe it was Gary Renard's book, that Mary, Jesus' mother, told him the story of Plato's cave.
Interesting. That's beautiful. I'm so glad that you shared that, Sue, because it calls to mind two different course quotes. One is, this is actually from, I just looked it up real quick, in FIP. I don't have the Sparkle open on my laptop. I have the searchable FIP. It's from chapter 11, and it says, the door is not barred, and it is impossible that you cannot enter the place where God would have you be. So there's nothing withheld from us. There's another quote, and I have this. I've had this now for years written on a card on my desk. Another course quote, it says, there are no hidden chambers in God's temple, meaning this is all available to us now. We have to, just like taking the story that you said, we have to choose to stop looking at the shadow and turn around to the open door that's right there. So that's perfect.
And then actually see the correct perception.
Right.
Have the correct perception of what is actually there, which kind of reminds me of the rope and the snake in a way. Because the rope and the snake is, in the darkness, the rope looks like a snake. And you think the rope is the snake, but when the light is on, you see the rope is the rope. And then you're never afraid. And then when it becomes dark again, you're never afraid of the rope, and you never mistake it for a snake anymore because you actually know what it is. You have the correct perception.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Beautiful.
Yes, this story, Plato's story about Kiev. Hello, by the way. It's Igor.
Hi, Igor. Hello.
Hello, Igor.
Very powerful story from Plato, and the modern metaphor about this is the beautiful Matrix movie, which is kind of the same. And this paragraph gives this unpleasant truth, that what you forgot was simply that God cannot destroy himself. And what Jesus says a lot in the text is that we're trying to do exactly this. We're trying to destroy God. And we want to kill him. But but we make it kind of a trick in a tricky way. When Jesus in the workbook lesson 71 explains the ego's plan for happiness, and the ego's plan to happiness, how ego tells us we will be happy. Its plan is to make guilty, blame others, to find scapegoats. But because the ego tells us we are guilty, we are guilty, and God is running behind us with his huge hammer and wants to smash us. So we have to find someone else guilty fast, and point our fingers towards them so that God will smash them, not us. And so we project all of those jerks, and we perceive ourselves as innocent victims. So now they are the guilty ones, not us. And so God will, when he will get here, he will smash with his hammer them, not us. But if we look at those whom we project, so often it's our parents, so often it's our governments, those jerks who makes us innocent victims. And if you think about it, it's always God. Like this 15 years old girl who was raped by her stepfather. Or just a lady whose father is a former Secret Service agent who is a serious kind of professional killer, and who is so cruel and bad to her, and he's quite wealthy, and he wrote her out of his will. He's kind of in his deathbed, and he wrote her out from his will, and he said that this is your fault, you're a bad daughter and stuff like that, and all kinds of stories like that. It is obvious that we project God by those powerful figures who hurt us. It is just obvious, right? This father is very powerful, very kind of strong, very wealthy, and he wrote her out from his will, and says, go out. Yeah, kicks her out from his heaven, basically, you know. And it's always God. So we think God is following us and wants with his hammer, and we put, when we put figures, we blame figures that represent God also. So we want to God to commit suicide, basically. We want God to kill himself because we know we cannot kill him. Yeah? In chapter, if I can find it quickly. In chapter 22, section 6, he says, it seems safer to attack your brother or to attack yourself than to attack God, whose power you do know. You see? So, and later in the text, in chapter 23, section 1, he says, do you not realize a war against yourself would be a war on God? Is victory conceivable? Yeah? The death of God, if it were possible, would be your death. Is this a victory? So what metaphor I came up with is the metaphor of a zit, you know, of a zit, like head and a zit. So we are like zits from the head, and the zit thinks that it would be happy if it gets separated from the head. You see, it wants to get separated. It wants the whole head to die so that it can live alone, yeah? But the whole source of the zit, the whole source of existence comes from the head. And if head would die, the zit would die too, yeah? So, yeah, this is this paragraph and this part of this paragraph represents those unpleasant truths that Jesus throws in our faces. We have to take it seriously because we have to realize where we are to move forward. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The conundrum is that the perception, the reality is that it is all a dream, and that's the big shift, to realize that it is all a dream.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Thank you, Meg. I'll just add, and then we'll move on to read the next paragraph, that what Igor was speaking to about the idea that they are guilty, not us, of course we can pick out things where we see that, you know, in stories on the news, whatever, but we're doing this all the time, and I've shared stories before, like little funny, stupid, silly stories about, you know, like my husband cutting a vegetable the wrong way, or like, you know, doing something the wrong way with like raw meat. I don't remember what my examples exactly have been, but there, in this tiny example of like, you know, saying like, well, you're not doing it right, that's me saying you're like putting the guilt on another person, putting the guilt on my husband for not doing something, quote unquote, right. And so, yeah, absolutely. And so there, you know, it becomes our task to be mind watchers, to watch our mind. How the Course says you're much too tolerant of mind wandering. We're asked to watch ourselves, watch the mind. And when we notice that we are doing this, that's where radical honesty comes in. We need to be so honest and not hide anything from Holy Spirit. We see it, oh, look, like there it's happening again, and we don't have to fix it or do anything ourselves. It's about us saying, hey, up, oh, there you go again. Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, here you go. So if we look closely, you know, we can catch this playing out in our lives. That's where choosing for separation didn't just happen once a long time ago. It's something that is happening every moment, and so we can look with Holy Spirit to choose again, to make a different choice.
Corinne, may I say one thing, and I'll make it real short.
Sure.
About saying, I think it was Meg that you said, you know, to just say, look at this, say it's an illusion. Was that you, Meg? I don't remember who said that. But anyway.
Yes. Are you talking about the rope?
I was doing that. And what that was doing for me, though, Meg, was just reinforcing the fact of the illusion. I wasn't getting past it. This is the illusion. This is the illusion. And this Ken Gorman that I recommended, his YouTubes, he says, I say, I don't have a fine, you know what that means, what an illusion is.
Right.
I don't know. What is in the illusion? I leave that up to Holy Spirit to teach me. I say, Holy Spirit, supposedly this is an illusion. I don't know what it means. I'm going to leave it up to you. You're in charge. He cuts everything down to that. He takes it literally that we are not meant to figure this thing out.
And you know what? What I think is, that's really excellent. What I think is judgment. When we look at anything without judgment, then it puts it on more than a neutral plane. Because when we look at something with judgment, we're putting a story onto it. And we're bringing
it's very hard to know when you're judging and when you're not, because your subconscious could be judging and you don't even know it.
And well, this
no,
is
I don't,
where
I don't
and
agree
this,
with that, really.
Well, I think what we're getting at, though, is that it's all through the Holy Spirit. We can't of ourselves
yeah.
be like, oh, I'm
that
you know, just not going to judge her.
Right.
It's
that's
all about turning to the Holy Spirit and not doing the Holy Spirit's job. Let's move on. We're going to read the next paragraph. As the light comes near, you will rush to darkness, shrinking from the truth, sometimes retreating to the lesser forms of fear, and sometimes to stark terror. But you will advance because your goal is the advance from fear to truth. You know this. The goal which you accepted is the goal of knowledge for which you signified your willingness. Fear seems to live in darkness, and when you are afraid, you have stepped back. Let us then join quickly in an instant of light, and it will be enough to remind you that your goal is light. Truth has rushed to meet you since you called upon it. So I want to pause here because this is big.
Just
this
like what you said before, Corinne, yeah? Just like what you
yeah.
said before, Corinne, yeah?
Yeah, so the idea, so as light comes near to you, I'm reading the first sentence again. As the light comes near, you will rush to darkness, shrinking from the truth, sometimes retreating to the lesser forms of fear, and sometimes the stark terror. So does that remind any of us of that ego backlash, quote unquote? Here, this, to me, is also speaking to the fact that, you know, the ego is... Again, just it's nothing. It's just it's a belief in nothingness, and it's our choice. If truth is coming up in us, if love, if we're touching that, and if we then retreat from it because we've gotten close to it, we're doing that. There's no external force, you know, causing a quote unquote backlash. So, Susan Dugan, I think it was in the first Miracle Share conference, said something to this effect of like. She said something like, I've just become afraid of love again. You know, when things start kicking up and maybe like difficulties start coming, I've just become afraid of love again. And that's what this is saying, that as that light, as we allow that light in, there's part of us because of the unresolved guilt in the mind that we think is still there, you know, there's part of us then that's still afraid of God. They're still afraid of, we're still afraid of love. Like ego, like Igor was saying, that belief that God is like running after us with a hammer, you know, out to get us, which is not true whatsoever. So this to me is just beautiful because it's beautiful, but it's frustrating to the ego because it puts the responsibility back on us again. We're the ones that are retreating into fear if that seems to be happening. But it's assuring us, the very next sentence, but you will advance because your goal is the advance from fear to truth. You know this. This is where I like to say there are no setbacks ever. If you think you're regressing, if you think you're going backwards, that's just ego talk. There's no such thing. We are advancing because we invited spirit in. We made that choice once. It was all we had to make it. And so our path of remembering who we truly are is set. It's happened already. So I love this.
You know, and I think, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
I think that when you get closer, when you have some maybe holy instance or when you have whatever experiences you have and you're leaving ego behind, oh, my gosh, it just really, really turns up the juice. I experienced that today. Because over the weekend I did experience some, and I was feeling literally personal attacks at myself. Personal attacks like who do you think you are, and that kind of stuff. Because once it does not, it thinks it's you, and it's going to be left behind. I mean, it is a bizarre kind of a whole setup and everything. But once you start assuming who you really are, this little segment that has been who, you know, it gets really shaken. It shakes in its shoes, and it wants to grab you back, and that's what's pulling you back into fear, is that I'm gonna pull you back into the darkness because, you know, you're me.
right. I would just add though to remember though too that's not an outside force doing that. That it's
our own
choice to believe in that. So that's, I think, an important thing to keep in mind, because if we talk about it as something out there that's kind of pulling us back, I feel for me that can increase my fear of it, which makes it happy. That, you know, for us to be afraid of it only fuels it, because
that only fuels it.
Yep, that's what it lives on, is fear. So
I think the next paragraph really talks about the way out of all of that.
And let's keep going, because I want to read that. It's a good one. Let's go. If you knew, I love this quote. This is one of my favorites. If you knew who walks beside you on this way which you have chosen, fear would be impossible. You do not know, because the journey into darkness has been long and cruel, and you have gone deep into it. A little flicker of your eyelids, closed so long, has not yet been sufficient to give you confidence in yourselves, so long despised. You go toward love still hating it and terribly afraid of its judgment upon you. And you do not realize that you are not afraid of love, but only what you have made of it. You are advancing to love's meaning and away from all illusions in which you have surrounded it. When you retreat to the illusion, your fear increases, for there is little doubt that what you think it means is fearful. Yet, what is that to us who travel surely and very swiftly away from fear?
I think...
I want to keep... Oh, go on.
Go ahead, Igor. In the previous paragraph and in this one, sentence 8, when you retreat to the illusion, your fear increases. Yeah. And in chapter 16, Jesus, in section 6, Jesus says, delay will hurt you more now than before. Because you realize it is delay, and that escape from pain is really possible. For you are no longer wholly insane. Kind of a cheering up, nice way to cheer us up from this. So, yeah, and so A lot of people, a lot of ACM students who kind of progress in this application of genuine forgiveness, when we're not blaming, when we are forgiving those jerks. For example, my girlfriend, she said that as soon as she starts hating someone, blaming someone, now he gets a headache immediately. and she's kind of upset about that, because she says like, oh, those girls in her work, her colleagues, they hate and they blame, they gossip about their clients, about each other, you know, they do it all the time, you know, about their parents, they complain and blame and, you know, and gossip about them all the time, and they feel great. My girlfriend gets upset, like, why? And for me, like, a little blame on someone, and I get an immediate headache. She gets upset from it. Yeah. And it's tempting to think that, oh, well, now it's Jesus is standing behind me, and as soon as I'm blaming, he's slapping my head, you know, like, but again, it's not someone else is punishing us, of course, right? It's only our true deep self realizes that delay will hurt you more now than before, only because we, our true deep self, realizes that it is delay, that I have to forgive those jerks, not keep blaming them. Yeah. So this is what happens, kind of practically in our practice, and it is okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And that's along the same lines, and I've shared this example before. Put a little piece of sand in your palm and you don't feel it. Put it in your eye and you really feel it. We have, on this journey, become more and more attuned to how much fear and judgment actually do hurt. It does hurt others, but they're not aware of it hurting them. We become more and more aware that, oh, wait a second, this doesn't make me happy. This doesn't make me feel good. And so, because we're tuning into that, and we have that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think.
Go on.
I think another example would be if you're used to take the shower each day, it's really hard to start taking shower once a week. Yeah.
Right.
If you're getting used to a good lifestyle, it's hard to go back. Yeah.
Right. That's true. That's true. Let's read the next paragraph. You who hold each other's hand also hold mine. For when you joined each other, you were not alone. Do you believe that I would leave you in the darkness? You agreed to leave with me. In your relationship is this world's light, and fear must disappear before you now. Be tempted not to snatch away the gift of faith you offer to each other. You will succeed only in frightening yourselves. The gift is given forever, for God himself received it. You cannot take it back. You have accepted God. The holiness of your relationship is established in heaven. You do not understand what you accepted, but remember that your understanding is not necessary. All that was necessary was merely the wish to understand. That wish was the desire to be holy. The will of God is granted you, for you desire the only thing you ever had or ever were. And let's pause. Couple things reminded me of so mid-paragraph, the gift is given forever, for God himself received it. You cannot take it back. You have accepted God. This is reminiscent of what I said before, that, you know, we invited spirit in, and now our course in awakening is set before us. The path is there. We let spirit in, God in, and we are not, we can't undo that.
No going back.
Thank God. No going back. Thank God. And I love this next part, then, when it says, you do not understand what you accepted, but remember that your understanding is not necessary. All that was necessary was merely the wish to understand. And what is a wish to understand but a willingness, right? It's a willingness to understand. So there's our tiny bit of willingness again. And this also reminds me, too, of just the power in that statement, I do not know. I don't know what anything is for. I don't know. Because in embracing that and embodying that, we're opening ourselves up. We're creating a space within our minds for truth, for our awareness of love's presence to return. Oh, this is all so good.
You know, when you're away from your normal environment, where I was this past weekend, and I did the lesson, I do not see that lamp as it is now. I do not see da-da-da-da as it is now. It was so powerful. It was so powerful because it wasn't something that I'd seen, you know, so many times. And I saw this, and I just was like, oh, my gosh. It was just, oh, I can't describe the experience of that, of this, that I'm really not seeing things as they are now. I really am not seeing them. And I was just last, just a few seconds, but it is so powerful to know that,
mm-hmm.
that there are things existing all around us that are so beautiful and we're not seeing them.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I'll just highlight to the first sentence that we just read, you who hold each other's hand also hold mine. For when you joined each other, you were not alone. Do you believe I would leave you in the darkness? You agreed to leave with me. So there it is again, this reminder that if we knew who walks beside us on this way that we've chosen, fear would be impossible. Our desire to wake up, we invited Jesus in, we invited Spirit in, and he's not leaving. Thank God. Let's read the next paragraph. Each instant that we spend together will teach you that this goal is possible and will strengthen your desire to reach it. And in your desire lies its accomplishment. Your desire is now in complete accord with all the power of the Holy Spirit's will. No little faltering footsteps that you may take can separate your desire from his will and from his strength. I hold your hand as surely as you agreed to take each other's. You will not separate, for I stand with you and walk with you in your advance to truth. And where we go, we carry God with us. This, to me, this first sentence, each instant that we spend together will teach you that this goal is possible and will strengthen your desire to reach it. That, to me, speaks to that as we experience these miracles, it's the experience that builds our trust. When we choose to spend time with love with a capital L, with Holy Spirit, with Jesus, whatever word you want to use, when we choose to spend time together, that strengthens this feeling that this really is, like it's saying, that this goal is really possible, that remembering love is really possible because we are remembering it. I'm going to pause there and just see if anybody else has anything to add. Any insights?
Just only that, you know, when you struggle, it is so helpful to know. Even that statement, Corinne, you made at the beginning, just a tiny bit of willingness.
Mm-hmm.
A tiny,
that's all
tiny
we need. That's all we need.
What struck me in the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, just a tiny speck, because I'm writing it. I write all these down.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, at
tiny
the end
speck.
Of your... Yeah, from the, just at the tail end of the meditation, connecting with willingness, offering to the Holy Spirit, sharing gratitude. But when you struggle, I'm not afraid to admit it, I'm struggling, it is so helpful.
Yeah.
I felt that way this week too, Brian. I really kept, all week I've been praying to the Holy Spirit for willingness because I don't feel willing. And I find that when I ask for the willingness, it seems to really help. You know, I get a shift.
Yeah, beautiful.
That's beautiful. And that's such a beautiful reminder that, like, you don't even have to have willingness yourself. You can ask for it. Like, that's, again, how little is asked of us. So that's beautiful, Paula.
Yeah, I've just had a lot of resistance this week. And it's instantaneous when you ask for help. I just seem to keep having to do that, though. One
and
step
ahead,
you're asking.
Two back.
I know
but you're
Paula has definitely reported on several occasions, like with your neighbor and some of your friends and different people you've encountered, where you've asked for help and you've seen results. But what about when you don't always see or feel?
But I think you will. What does he say? Only infinite patience will bring immediate results.
Yep.
So you will see it. But when you're ready to see it, you'll see it.
And Brian, are you trying to see it in other people?
Myself, just in internal punishment and guilt and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's when page 90 comes in handy.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I think it comes down to what you guys were saying earlier about, like, it's just, you know, we're either in alignment or we're not. And I've experienced that a few times. And, you know, I would think about the call and just think, and I would just say, you know, either help or I'm not in alignment and I want to feel my connection with Spirit again, and just sincerely saying it. And you know, I don't feel a shift immediately all the time, but I will, like, you know, down the road a little bit, and you can tell, and I'm like, oh, I'm back in alignment, and it's just the willingness.
Is that lesson 90?
No, page 90.
It's page 90 in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. Brian, which edition of the book are you reading from?
The original, the online one.
I'll get it for you.
We
should all go get a tattoo.
What's that, Paul?
That's so true.
I said we should all just go get a tattoo of it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have it here. So in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 90. If you have the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 5, part 9. So chapter 5, then IX for part 9. Then it's paragraph number 96. And I will get the Sparkle reference, but I just want to read it. In FIP, I'm going to read the – I'm going to repeat. Paula, you can join me. I heard you saying it. I must have decided
it wrongly
because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me. There again, with that last sentence, is that reminder that the Holy Spirit is the one choosing for God for us. It's not about us getting ourselves back in alignment, you know, ourselves, or us choosing for God, or us choosing for love. I have a video blog coming out shortly that I speak to this, where we don't know how to choose for love. Come on. Like, we can choose for love, certainly, and I think that that's a great step in that direction, but we can be choosing love from the ego thought system still. So instead, we choose for Holy Spirit and allow Holy Spirit to choose for love, to choose for God for us. And this is clearly saying that Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of our wrong decision if we will let him. I used to be so petrified that I was like seriously impacting my health permanently from the level of anxiety that I had for lengthy amounts of time. And I would remember this prayer, this page 90 or page whatever in the other editions, would be like, oh, okay, like here's the reset button. I'm not going to put fear into that anymore. Here's the reset button. And we've talked about this many times throughout the years on this call, and just the massive miracles that come about with letting the Holy Spirit undo the consequences for us. So that's, I'm so glad you brought that up, Paul. That was perfect.
Yeah, come in. And Brian, there's just one more thing. I mean, I know you can't choose for love, but instead of just working on ego elimination all the time and the guilt and this and then that, I was really in a bad place this last week. I was really down on myself. I was not feeling worthy. I was, I was just not there. And I just opened the book, and I can't even tell you what page it is because the book just fell open to it. And it said, no one who sincerely asks for love will be denied.
Mm-hmm.
If you open your heart, love will come in. And you know what? That's what happened.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And
Thank you. That's
when you know that's your introduction. Oh, my goodness. There is a part of me that loves me, that has never left me. And then once you get that, you know, in there, then you can start working on those guilt things and stuff like that. And once you know that you're loved, once you know you're loved, even when you're feeling unworthy and guilty and all
really?
That stuff, that love
Amazing.
Comes in. You can accept that.
So
thank
love
you,
is the
Sue.
Key. Thank you.
I love that, what you said. There is part of me that loves me that never left me. I heard a voice before Sue started speaking, and that may have been, I'm not sure who that was. Was that Alicia?
Yeah, that was me.
Hi.
Hi, thank you. I was just adding on to what you were saying, the whole idea of, you know, we don't have to do it. And it reminds me of something that in the Bible where Jesus, Yeshua, is being carried off to be executed, and he's just like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And my interpretation of that has come to be like, I can't do this right now. And I know for me, when I give it to Holy Spirit, like, okay, Holy Spirit, you do it, I feel like I can breathe. And I'm like, okay, it's not my responsibility. You're going to take care of it. And I recently had an experience where I applied that, and I'm having so many transformations, and I feel so much peace. And so about 2 months ago, me and my boyfriend, we broke up. Wonderful God, but I made a decision based on just a number of things unrelated to integrity or any drama stuff happening. And I find myself at first holding on like, guys, I've got to hold on. I've got to be there and kind of prove to him that, yeah, I really do care about you. And I had all this kind of things inside of my mind like I'm responsible for him. I'm responsible for trying to understand all of this. And the Holy Spirit just kind of came into my head like, that's not your responsibility. I got this. Whatever it is you're trying to do or trying to accomplish, leave it up to me.
Mm.
And it just hit me one night in the middle of the night, and I said, you know what? And I had been holding on, even making my decision, and I think because I had been holding on, it had kind of had him holding on too. But just that feeling of saying, I don't got to do this. This is not my responsibility. And it just opened up a world of just peace and serenity. And then I was able, from that space, to make a more clear decision and stand by it. And now every time it comes up, because it'll still come up like, oh, it's your responsibility to go do this or this and make amends and do all of this, Holy Spirit will say, no, I've got him. And the last thing I'll say to this is that for years and years and years, I thought this need that I have to do that with people and hold on, and I thought it came from a space of love. Like, I'm doing this because I'm a caring person and I care about what's happened to you. But what's been revealed to me is that that's just another form of ego, because some part of me feels like your happiness and security starts and ends with me. And I just felt Holy Spirit really checking me, like, really? Just you? You think it's all about you? And so that's just, I just think it's wonderful that you brought that topic up and someone else brought it up about, you know, we don't have to do it. And that realizing that I don't have to do it, and I especially don't have, and if I choose to do it, I don't have to do it alone, has and continues to be the catalyst for the peace of mind that I'm currently experiencing as it relates to this recent breakup. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Lisha. That was absolutely beautiful. And just to highlight one of the things that you just shared, where you said Holy Spirit was calling you out, like where you felt like you were doing things for love, that is what I was sort of referencing earlier with, you know, as we look really closely without judgment and with brutal honesty at what's going on at ourselves, you know, as we look with Holy Spirit, we see, and the Course even says, you know, the things that we think that we do out of love, it's actually out of fear, you know. Taking care of another person where we feel like we're protecting them, well, it's out of fear that something bad would happen. And you know, how much we can think we're doing something out of love, but that it's actually fear. So I love how you said that, and you're absolutely right. It's all about letting Spirit do it for us, so thank you.
Yeah, that's really resonates. But I just, it makes me think of, like, how often we think that we're doing things out of love, but there's really, like, a sense of, you know, obligation, or I should do this because that would be the loving thing to do. And that's not how love works at all. If it has any kind of condition attached to it, it's not love, is it? And the more, like, we talk about these ideas, and I've found in practicing these things, is that the more I've come to understand that everything, absolutely everything in our experience, whether we label it good or bad or positive or negative or anything like that, everything is on behalf of our awakening, because that's all there is. There is nothing else. So we don't even have to worry about what does this mean. It's like, I don't know what anything is for. All I know is that I'm here as a being of love, and the whole process is coming to know the truth of that. And so anything in my experience is going to reveal to me what needs to be revealed. And, you know, so that to me brings a lot of peace with it, because I don't have to figure anything out. I don't know what anything is for. And I just find that it helps me relax, because, like the Course says, the idea of the ego is really nothing. So all this time that we try to figure out, well, is that love or is that the ego? Or it's almost like it's another ploy of the ego to try to figure all of that out.
Right, absolutely.
That's a very good point. So, Deidre, are you saying, like, maybe if we had made wrong decisions in the past and we're reaping the consequences of those bad or, you know, unwise decisions, even that, now that we've given our lives to the Holy Spirit, even those consequences, even those experiences are?
Yes, because everything is taken to the light. and looked at with the light. So there is no mistake then, is there?
And there's nothing wrong.
There's only an opportunity to expand even further and come into the full awareness of love. That's all there is.
Deidre, that is so beautiful. Because, and getting that from the head to the heart is really the journey. It really is. Nobody has done anything wrong.
No.
We're not.
We have all done
to
worry
anything.
At the time.
And there's no consequences to be paid because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences if we will let him.
Well, the
and
whole thing is...
It's just wonderful news.
It's never happened in the first place. What
right.
we think
yes.
has happened has not happened. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like
that's
we,
a weird one.
It,
I can't get my head around
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. that's the whole, that's the matrix right there.
Thank you for sharing that, Deidre.
Yeah.
You know, I was writing in my journal the other day about that, and I said, have anybody ever have a lucid dream where you know you're in the dream and you can kind of manipulate yourself in the dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had one, and yeah, where I knew I could paint this wall yellow, and I thought, gee, I'm in this dream, and I can paint this wall yellow, and I can do this, and I can do that. And I was writing in the journal. I said, is that as close that to come to what it's like to be in the dream, but not you know still in the dream? And it's supposedly, you know, that's a good metaphor for being in the dream and while you're dreaming. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, definitely.
How it was stated.
No,
yeah.
No, that makes total sense. Makes total
yeah.
sense. I
and I
want to
share
okay,
something too.
Quickly,
please.
I heard Igor before.
If it's
go for
possible.
It, Igor.
Thank you for being. Yeah, because like what helps me is this, the main thing. What it's all about. It's all about happiness. It's all about happiness. This little willingness of what? Of happiness. And lesson 101 says God's will for me is perfect happiness. Yeah, like absolute ecstatic and endless joy. Yeah, and so whatever I experience that is not happiness, that is not joy, is not coming from God. Yeah, so like when I think my boyfriend, you know, I have to take care of this boyfriend, Lala, does this idea make me happy? Yeah, and so this lesson 101 always helps me, and this quote from late in the text that says, would you be right or happy? Yeah, so I think it's right that I have to take care of my ex-boyfriend, la la la. And again, does it make you happy? Would you be right or happy? Yeah. So and Brian, what Brian was sharing that he's blaming himself. Again, does this idea make me happy? Do I feel joy from this idea?
No.
Just. Forget about it. It's not true. It didn't happen. It's an illusion. Yeah. So it's all about happiness, guys. Yeah. So this little willingness for happiness and God's will for us is perfect happiness. So whatever is not happiness, it's not true. It's not. It's from the ego. Now, because the ego wants us to feel sad and suffer. God wants us only to be happy. Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Igor.
Thanks Igor.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're past the top of the hour. Just I heard one other voice. Was that Meg?
Yes. I'm just going to say, I hate to put the damper on everything, but be careful of happiness because the ego does lure us with happiness also. So
of
discernment,
course, yes.
Discernment is needed, and that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, great point. Thank you, Meg. Thank you, everybody, so much for your shares and your insights and your questions and for joining together tonight. So love you all. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. God bless
you.
Bye-bye.